Welcome to Shir HaKzav HaKabbalah Parshas Vayeshev. So we mentioned back when we began the Shiur HaKzav HaKabbalah in Parshas Bereishis, the HaKzav HaKabbalah writes in his Hakdamah as an introduction that part of what he wants to try to explain in going through the Chumash is to try to explain stories that on the surface cast our forefathers in what seems to be a negative light, and to try to show how the actions that they're described as doing are, you know, not as far out and terrible as one might think when one reads the simple pshat of the psukim. Certainly, you know, that presents a challenge when reading about the Mechiras Yosef, the sale of Yosef in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Okay, we don't like our brother, so let's talk about, maybe we should kill him, maybe we should throw him into a pit. Let's sell him down into Egypt as a slave. Okay, if your kids try that at home, you know, you probably have what to say about it. So how does one explain that kind of conduct when it comes to the Shivtei Kah, to people that we look up to as being tzaddikim? So again, there's no shortage of discussion with regard to the Mechiras Yosef and the classical Mefarshim to try to help us understand where the Shvatim are coming from, where the brothers of Yosef are coming from, that they engaged in something that on the surface is very, very hard to understand. The HaKzav HaKabbalah is a very unique and a very interesting approach, and I wanted to take tonight to try to spell out various aspects of the approach of HaKzav HaKabbalah. So the starting point for the unique approach to HaKzav HaKabbalah is in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, when the brothers see Yosef approaching from afar. Vayiro so meirachok, they see him approaching from afar. Uvitaram yikrav aleihem, before he had even come close to them, vayisnaklu oso lehamiso. So that phrase, vayisnaklu oso lehamiso, is one that requires translation and explanation, and we'll see that the HaKzav HaKabbalah has his unique approach starts with those three words. Right? The HaKzav HaKabbalah, das ha-mefarshim, most mefarshim understand that vayisnaklu, the word vayisnaklu means nismalu necholim va'armumis, that vayisnaklu means they engaged in plots, they connived to go about killing him. Kitargum lahargo ve'arma, and the source for that translation is a pasuk in Sefer Shmos and Parshas Mishpatim, when a person looks to kill somebody intentionally, lahargo ve'arma, to kill someone with stealth. Arma means with conniving, with stealth. So the Targum there translates that lemikdalei b'nechilu. The word ba'arma, with stealth, with conniving approach, is translated with the word b'nechilu, and that the Mefarshim understand is the same root as the word vayisnaklu, which is mentioned over here. V'inyano ha-machshava harat tzfuno belev. And according to that, vayisnaklu refers to when a person has evil thoughts in mind. In other words, it's not just, as we would say in modern day law, it's not just a crime of passion, you know, that the person decided to kill somebody else because they were caught in the heat of the moment, but it was a premeditated attack against the person. Vayisnaklu oso lehamiso. In other words, in this context, that the brothers began plotting and planning how exactly they would bump Yosef off. And of course, that, you know, as difficult as was as the sale of Yosef was to understand a few moments ago, the notion that they're plotting and scheming and planning, you know, and it's not just a crime of passion in the moment, makes it even more difficult to understand. Umilas oso lo pirshu kichol oso shebimikra hamora al hapo'ul. So the thing is, though, says the HaKzav HaKabbalah, if you translate the word vayisnaklu as they plotted, so then the object which follows vayisnaklu oso, they plotted him, becomes very difficult to understand. In other words, usually if you were going to plot, you would, even in English we would say you plot against someone. You plot concerning someone. Vayisnaklu oso, you know, doesn't really fit idiomatically, also is the direct article, they plotted him, right? So that's not the way you would say it. You would say by Yisnaklu, a love, you know, they plotted about him, they plotted, you know, towards him, against him. What's the word oso? So you have to say, says Daksava Kabbalah, is that the word oso is going to be translated in an atypical way over here. Ki po'al Yisnaklus omeidhu. The term vayisnaklu doesn't usually get a subject. And as vayisnaklu just means they plotted themselves. In other words, there's no need, that doesn't get an object. There's no need for an object, you know, at all in the sentence. Vayisnaklu la'amiso. They plotted to kill him. What's the oso? Lochain amru kinilas oso po hu b'makom elov. So that's why the mefarshim over here write that oso, even though it means him, has to be understood in the sense of about him or concerning him, which again says the Haksava Kabbalah, Hadochak Mavur. You see right away that that's not an intuitive way of reading the pasuk. You have to twist the meaning of oso in order to make the pasuk work. Look, Milvadze lePirusham Hamaymar lMosar Lama Lo Lemikra Lo Liyenam Achshavos Tamara. Besides that, says the Aksava Kabbalah, if you think about it, the whole phrase, Vayisnaklu oso lahamiso, is really extraneous according to the Mefarshim. Again, how did the Mefarshim read it? Yosef was on his way over to the brothers, so the brothers plotted to kill him. What's the next pasuk? Vayomru ish el achiv. They said one to another, look, Yosef is coming, ato luchuvin ahageyu. Let's go now and kill him. So in other words, if you would have taken out the words about them plotting to kill him, you would have realized that they're looking to kill him in any case, because that's what they say. Now, you don't have to tell me they thought about killing him. They say to one another, let's go kill him. So the whole phrase, they plotted to kill him, really is extraneous, says Zaksav HaKabbalah. Halo adiyam dvarstav sosam shahot siyu b'peh, male, luchuv and argeu. They said, let's go kill him. Why do you have to tell me? Oh, before they said they were going to kill him, they also thought they were going to kill him. Of course, yeah, I mean, they thought they were going to kill him before they said they were going to kill him. Machshavtim yikeres mitoch motzva p'em. We can understand what they were thinking based on what they said. Lochein nireli. So therefore, says Daksav HaKabbal, I'll tell you what I think this pasuk is telling us. It's telling us something totally different. Shiodienu mamar ze amitas kavanas ha'achim kidiburam uvema'aseim in Yosef achiem shlohayu ki'im diburim upo'olim medumiyim le'enei Yosef shirotsonam lehamiso la'aviro min ha'olam. In point of fact, the phrase vayisnaklu oso lehamiso means that the brothers made believe that they were going to kill Yosef. Vayisnaklu, as he'll go on to say in a few moments, means they pretended. Not that they connived or they plotted. They pretended they were going to kill him. And goes on the Aksav HaKabbalah to say, for a moment, none of the brothers, not even Shimon and Levi, who are identified by Chazal, so to speak, the ringleaders in this whole episode, nobody for a moment thought of killing Yosef, not directly, not indirectly. The whole thing was, let's make a show of trying to kill him. Let's quote-unquote rough him up a little bit. And then maybe after he has that experience, he'll leave us alone. Clearly the brothers were upset with Yosef. Clearly, again, whatever the exact details were, Yosef went and said things to Yaakov about the brothers that caused enmity and hatred between the other brothers and Yosef. Clearly they were upset against him in terms of how he looked to lord over them as far as they were concerned. Hamaloch timloch aleinu imashal timshobanu. Do you think you're going to be a king over us? There was a lot of resentment there. But the plan, says Aksav HaKabbalah, was just, hey, here comes Yosef. Let's give him a scare. And maybe if we give him a scare, you know, it will teach him a little bit of humility, a little bit of modesty, and he's not going to lord over us the way that he did in the past. Now, that's a very innovative pshat in terms of reading that into the psukim. How exactly do you go about seeing that in the psukim themselves? So he writes as follows. Shelo haisa kavanasam ki im la'aymo u la'afchido. all the brothers really wanted to do was to scare Yosef. And they figured once they scare him, you know, so then they can pull him back from the edge and say, look, you know, our dear brother Yosef, just calm down a little bit. You know, once you calm down, so, you know, we're all friends. We just want you to realize that that you're acting in a really inappropriate fashion. Says the Aksava Kabbalah, think about the word Vayisnaklu, which is key to his pshat. Vayisnaklu, he said before, was related to the word arma. Arma, we said, can mean conniving, but if you think about it, it's also the very same word for trickery. Right? So notice Vayisnaklu oso lahamiso means the brothers tricked him, making him think that they were going to kill him. Ha'arma hi ha'histatrus v'histalmus ha'machshava v'apu'ula mizulasa. What is arma? What is trickery? It's when you hide your true intentions from someone else. V'chein hu ha'histnaklus shehu meshutuf b'muvano im shem kli shehu ha'kaf ha'chitzoni ha'mastir v'amechasa b'chalolo u'mipnim yisod v'arma. Right? And so too, histnaklus is related to the word kli. Kli means a vessel. What's a vessel? A vessel hides what's inside it. If I look at a package, I can't tell from the package what's inside the package. I look at a cup. If I look at it from this vantage point, I can't tell whether there's tea in the cup, whether there's coffee in the cup, whether there's soda in the cup. You know, the nature of a kli is to hide. Vayisnaklu, from the lashon of kli, a vessel, they hid their true intention and they made it seem as if they wanted to actually go ahead and kill him. So that's the starting point. That's the starting point for this whole discussion of the Aksava Kabbalah. Shimon and Levi spoke to one another, you know, in a very forceful kind of manner, but when they said to one another, L'chu v'nahargeyu, let us go and kill him, they actually did it, he suggests, in earshot of Yosef. So that as Yosef came closer, Yosef would hear them saying, hey, let's go kill him. And then they grab him and throw him into the pit. Yosef thinks, oh my, they're about to kill me. But in point of fact, this is all just a ruse, just a game, in order to put him in his right place. Truth be told, the Aksava Kabbalah's approach, again, it still needs to be fleshed out a little bit more because there's more that happens in the story, right? But the Aksava Kabbalah's approach does answer a very basic question in the Psukim. So Shimon and Levi say to one another, hey, let's go and kill him and we'll throw him into one of the pits. So presumably the plan at that point is, let's go kill him, stick a knife through him, and throw his corpse into one of the pits. And we'll say, "V'omaru chayora achalasu," and we'll say he was devoured, he was ripped apart by some evil, some wild beast. Okay, but that's not what they actually do. They throw him alive into the pit. Now, if the plan was to kill him and throw him into the pit, why didn't they do that? They throw him alive into the pit, right? It sounds like the plan was, let's kill him and throw the corpse into the pit. Right? They don't do that. Why don't they do that? Now, again, there are other answers to that question, but Aksava Kabbalah's answer is the most basic answer on a certain level. They didn't kill him because they never planned on killing him. They threw him into the pit, and the whole thing was a ruse, was a guise, in order just to shake him up a little bit. Right, okay. So Elchinami, the pit was a dangerous place. We'll get to that. In other words, you know, it's not like it was a simple thing to throw him into the pit either. But again, let one thing at a time. First thing, they didn't stick a knife into his chest, right? That's the first thing they didn't do. So again, they sought to deceive Yosef. He should think that they want to kill him.
Right? Lo hayo be'emes b'leiv shalom v'nefesh ra, ki im dibur u'po'al medubo le'enei Yosef.
This phrase, v'yisnaklu oso l'amiso, which he again translates, they pretended that they were going to kill him, sets the tone for the entire story. Everything they're going to do and say in the story is merely something that they're doing to give the impression that they're looking to harm or hurt Yosef in some way, but it's all, you know, it's all make-believe, he claims.
V'gam im b'sif sosem otziu b'kol la'ozne Yosef lishpoch domo arzo.
Even if they said with their mouths that they were going to spill his blood, libam lo kein diba be'emes, that's not what they were thinking.
Rak havanosim hoysa lavchidu lahapil lov emas mavis.
They wanted to frighten him and put the fear of death into him, but they didn't want to touch him.
V'lazer lo omar akostu v'yisnaklu olov.
Now coming back to the original, one of the issues he raised, the unusual word oso. If v'yisnaklu means they plotted against him, so it should have said vayisnaklu olov. It doesn't say that. It says vayisnaklu oso. They plotted him. What does that mean?
Shimkein haisa mashma uso min orma rishon notocho kibaro fulahar go be'emes ayde shisli klovim chadom ilistros benigla linikim.
Right, vayisnaklu olov would have meant that they plotted against him.
Aval omar milas oso asheyo b'chol makom ala pa'ul ki Yosef hoya ha-pa'ul min ha-orma kimavuar.
Right? Vayisnaklu oso means that they pretended for his sake. In other words, they pretended that Yosef should be fooled. They didn't plot against him. That's not a correct translation. According to the Aksava Kabbalah, vayisnaklu, they pretended oso that he should be on the receiving end of the make believe of the ruse. He was the object of their ruse. He was the one they were seeking to fool. That's why you have this unusual usage of the term in a way that we wouldn't expect if the word vayisnaklu simply meant that they were conniving and plotting to hurt him in some way. So that's an important, again, very creative, very unique way of starting off the discussion. Let's see where that takes us. So they take Yosef, and pretending that they're going to kill him, they throw him into the pit. Now, the pit, again, as Chazal say, wasn't exactly a safe place either, right? Mayim Einbo, Avon Nechashim Vakravim Yeshbo, right? There's no water in the pit, but there's snakes and scorpions in the pit. Right, so the Haksava Kabbalah on Pasuk Chof Dalud points out that you have to say Shfarich Lomar Shehem Lo Ro Osam Shehoyu Bin Akike Hasloim. You have to say that when Chazal comment there were snakes and scorpions in the pit, that was not something that the brothers of Yosef knew, because clearly if they knew that there were snakes and scorpions in the pit, so, you know, you couldn't just say they're pretending to kill him. You know, they're actually putting him into a situation where it's very likely that he's going to be killed in the pit. So in other words, the Aksava Kabbalah's understanding of that Maimer Chazal, of that statement of Chazal, is that the Torah is telling us that the pit was in fact a far more dangerous place than they thought. But from their perspective, they were not aware of that. They threw him into a pit, you know, meaning to rough him up a little bit, but having no sense that he was in any actual danger by virtue of being in the pit.
What about how did the brothers know? The other brothers besides Shimon and Levi?
Yeah, no. See, so he understands this as not simply Shimon and Levi were the only ones who, you know, were in on it. You know, he's going to say in a minute that Reuven was not in on it, because when Reuven comes back and, you know, has the whole, you know, what happened? We put him into a pit. Right. Vayatzileu mi'odom. Right. Right. So he understands that Reuven was not in on it. Right? Well, so we'll get to Yehuda in a minute, right? But in terms of Shimon and Vilevi, and it sounds like probably most of the rest of the brothers, they all had this idea, let's just make believe that we're going to hurt him in some way. He actually he actually references the words that Yaakov Avinu says to Shimon and Levi at the end of Yaakov's life, ki b'rtzonam hargu ki ba'afam hargu ish uv'rtzonam ikru shor. right? So the second part of that pasuk, that Shimon and Levi, cut the hamstrings of the ox to prevent it from moving. So that Chazal understand is the reference to Yosef. Yosef is referred to as the ox, and the question is, Shimon and Levi are described as just hampering the walking of the ox. What do you mean they hampered the walking of the ox? They sought to kill the ox. They wanted to slaughter the ox. They were ready to kill Yosef, right? If you're gonna yell at them for that, right? Birsonam ikru shor. No, birsonam hargu shor. Right? As they wanted to kill the ox. So that's what he says. The reason Yaakov puts it the way he does is because their intention was never to actually harm or hurt Yosef. They wanted to cut him down a little bit, cut him down to size. They wanted to make it difficult for him to walk around and parade as if he was, the next Melech Yisrael, which he kind of was. But, they wanted to give him a good dose of what they saw as being humility. They never had the intention of hurting him in any way. That's how he understands the words that Yaakov Avinu himself says to Shimon and Levi at the end of Yaakov's life. Okay, so let's continue looking at this situation. So they're about to throw him into the pit. Reuven, who's not a part of this discussion, understands that they're not pretending, that they're looking to actually hurt him. In Pasuk Chof Aleph, he writes, Reuven lo hayoim echov bisyatsam al Yosef mikodem lisnahegim obederach armo levad. Reuven was not part of those early discussions that they were just going to pretend or make believe to hurt Yosef. Velo yoda klum hisnaklu sam oso kodem amara mulchuna argeyu. He wasn't aware of the vayisnaklu oso la miso. The whole thing was make believe. He thought that they literally meant they were going to hurt him. They're going to kill him. He thought they were going to kill him. So that's what his intention was, to try to save them. And then he adds the following, that's Sava Kabbalah. How do we know that Reuven was not in the know? How do we know that he was not part of the discussions where all this was make-believe? So he says it goes back to the phrase Vayishma Reuven, Reuven heard, meaning all Reuven was operating with was that which he heard. He heard them saying Lechu v'nargeyu, let's go and kill them, right? So he operated on the basis of that understanding. I guess they really want to kill him, not just they want to make-believe. Otherwise, he says, why do you have to say Vayishma Reuven? Reuven heard. Vayasu Reuven also mi adam. Reuven sought to save them from his hands. That's what it should have said. Vayishma Reuven means he heard what they were saying and he didn't know. He didn't know this pshat of Vayisnaklu. He didn't realize that they were just making believe and that they weren't really going to hurt him. So that's the situation right now. The brothers, most of the brothers, are in on this ruse. Reuven is not. They throw Yosef into the pit, and then we find. And then we find in Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Yehuda el Echav. Yosef is in the pit, right? They're sitting down and again, having lunch while Yosef is in the pit. So Yehuda says to his brothers, Ma betza ki narog es achino v'chisinu es damo. The usual translation is, Ma betza, what gain will we have if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Let's go and sell him to these Yishma'elim who are passing by at this very moment. And that sets in motion a series of events that ultimately gets Yosef sold. Says Maksava Kabbal on Pasuk Chavav, Hine advarim ka'ele kimidkeros cherev b'leiv kol ish maskil. If we understand Yehuda's words the way they're typically understood, it's almost like a dagger in the heart of any intelligent person. That's the way he puts it. Lahalos b'daito machshava b'zuya v'nim eses kazo. I mean, how could Yehuda think or articulate such a disgusting thought, limnoa atzmon miritzichas ha'ach machmash lo yuchlu lehispar be'avlos yudeyem v'levchor tachtov lemachro kedei larviach mamon al yodo. The way many of the Mefarshim understand Yehuda's statement is, what will we gain if we kill him and we cover over his blood? So that could be understood in one of two ways. Either, you know, we might as well make some money off of this, which is a very, very disturbing statement, right? You know, whatever their thoughts were vis-a-vis Yosef, to have Yehuda telling the brothers, look, I know we want to kill him, but, you know, come on, we're not going to make any money off of that. We might as well get rid of him and make some money on the side, you know, at the same time. You know, it calls to mind, you know, the famous story about Rothschild. You know, a Jew says, you know, if I was rich, I'd be as rich as Rothschild. So somebody else says, no, I'd be richer than Rothschild because I do some work on the side, make a little extra money. So that's the same thing over here. You know, so Yehuda says, we want to get rid of Yosef, and we should also make a few bucks off of it. How much money do they make? You know, 20 pieces of silver. Okay, that's what you were thinking about. I mean, again, very, very hard to understand. Another way to understand it, say, the Mefarshim, Ma Betza, what will we gain from this is as follows. Again, a very, very hard statement. Normally, when you kill somebody for revenge, you want to be able to boast about it. Here, Naro Gesachino V'chisino Esdomo, now we're not going to be able to boast about it because it would hurt our father Yaakov. So what's the point in killing him if we can't take out an ad of the newspaper that we killed him? We're not going to gain anything from that. And that interpretation as well is also a very, very troubling interpretation. Either way, you try to understand Yehuda's statement. Yehuda sounds, sounds like a low-life individual. How much money are we going to get from all of this? You know, what's the point if we're not going to be able to publicize the fact that we killed him? You know, okay, whatever issue you have with him, but that's what you're thinking about? Very, very hard to understand.
In the way I would understand just the fact that what's the point? I mean, you want to kill him, but everything you get by killing him, you gain by just getting him out of the way, by selling him to the...
Right.
He's telling tales to your father, he's... So tell him, and he will get him out of the way. We're not going to get anything by doing the worst thing.
So essentially we'll see, we'll pick up after Marv, that Ksava Kabbalah develops an idea that's similar to that. You know, it's not that he's interested in the money per se, it's not that he's, he's not interested in the revenge aspect of it. We'll see that Ksava Kabbalah is going to tell us that the word Betza means not gain, but rather purpose. What purpose will be served if we kill him? And we'll see the, you know, his basis for that particular etymology when we pick up after Ma'ariv Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shira Ksava Kabbalah Parshas Vayeshev. So we were explaining this unusual approach that Ksava Kabbalah takes to the Mechiras Yosef, to the sale of Yosef, that essentially the brothers, where the vast majority of the brothers were just doing make-believe, they were roughing him up a little bit so that he'd get scared, and Yosef, from that point on, would not show the brothers what they saw as this kind of arrogance and haughty attitude which he had had previously, but they never had any intention of killing him. At this point, the Aksava Kabbalah is trying to understand the words of Yehuda, who says, you know, what gain will we have if we kill him and cover up his blood? What exactly is meant by that? So he writes as follows: "V'ledaiti divrei Yehuda eilehim tochachas musar el echov leganos masrei hashlachasam also el habor." Now, says Aksava Kabbalah, Yehuda is actually taking the moral high ground over here, even though you don't get that impression from the simple translation of his words. He's coming to the other brothers and he's saying, you made a mistake by throwing him into the pit, even though I understand that your intention in throwing him into the pit is really just to frighten him, and not that you're actually planning on hurting him, or certainly not planning on killing him. Why? Asher ben akel yuchal lovo bo lidei sakona, ayrei pritz chayos v'chadome mehamazikin. Yehuda said to the brothers as follows: you throw him into the pit, he could really get hurt. I mean, forget about the fact that the brothers are not aware of the nechashim v'akravim, of the snakes and scorpions that are actually in the pit. But even besides that, you throw him into the pit in the middle of the desert, and who knows what wild animal is going to come along, you know, while the brothers are having lunch, and do something really horrible to Yosef. We're just trying to, so to speak, play a prank on him, to show him who's boss, you know, to rough him up a little bit. And meanwhile, you throw him into the pit, and he's actually being subject to danger. That's a terrible sort of thing. Yehuda uses terminology in speaking to his brothers where he says to them, even if you just cause his death indirectly, it's as if you're actually killing him outright. The Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, there's not too much difference between killing somebody outright, directly, and killing him indirectly. The Gemara phrases it's the difference between a dina rabba and a dina zuta, the difference between a really heavy judgment and a lighter judgment. But says Yehuda, if you're going to throw him into the pit and he does get killed, you know, so what's going to happen? Kinaro gesachinu v'chisinu esdamo. If we end up killing our brother in the process, that's not going to be good. That's kinaro gesachinu. He understands that they're not looking to actually kill you, to actually kill Yosef. But nonetheless, if we even cause the death of Yosef, it's as if we killed him ourselves. So how does all this fit into the pasuk? So the ata shmat chila pistron hamilos. Haboy medivrei Yehuda. Well, who's that? Let's unpack the terminology that Yehuda uses. Betza, kita'am bitza emroso. This word betza, which Rashi, by the way, translates as gain. What gain will we have? The Ksava Kabbalah says, should better be translated, purpose. What purpose will be served if we end up killing him? Kumo bitza emroso, as the pasuk says in the beginning of the second parak of Eicha, God carried out His word bitza emroso, right? In other words, so betza is the carrying out of something. Lashon havoas dover el gemar tachliso. In other words, the point. In other words, the purpose, thank you. But, you know, in other words, the purpose, the end game, what's the purpose of putting him in a situation where he may be killed? So that's the beginning of the pasuk. Ma betza kinaro gesochinu. What purpose will be served if we end up killing our brother? Even if we end up killing our brother inadvertently, but by throwing him into the pit, we end up killing him inadvertently. What purpose will be served by that? And then he gives a fascinating chat to the end of the pasuk, v'chisinu es domo. Normally, v'chisinu es domo is translated, you know, we will cover up his blood. What purpose will be served if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? But says the Haksava Kabbalah, exus, a garment, is related to the word kisui, right? It's something that covers the person. If we end up killing him, says Yehuda, we will wear that garment of shame for the rest of our lives. V'chisinu es damo, we will cover ourselves with his blood. We will be wearing these blood-stained garments, so to speak, for the rest of our lives. We will be clapping al chet for the rest of our lives if we throw him into the pit to kind of, you know, do make-believe that we're hurting him in some way, and he ends up actually, Rahman al-Islam, getting killed while he's in the pit. How can we live with ourselves in such a fashion? Now, that's a very, very unique way of understanding the chisinu es damo. The truth is, I don't think you have to go quite as far as Haksava Kabbalah himself goes in terms of maintaining the basic pshat. The basic pshat that he wants to say is that Yehuda comes to his brothers and says, look, there's no purpose that's going to be served by putting him into a situation where he could, you know, actually end up dying. What would happen if he actually ended up dying? So presumably, you know, the brothers would have a very strong temptation to cover up the fact that he was killed because of them. right? Because after all, they're going to feel tremendously guilty. They're going to rationalize that we didn't really mean to do it, which is true. They didn't really mean to do it. They threw him into the pit as a kind of a hazing, if you will. They just wanted to show him who's boss, but some wild animal came along and ended up, you know, doing damage to him. So it's not unlikely that the brothers, you know, confronted with that kind of situation, would have to make up some kind of story to cover their tracks afterwards. So that could be just very simply what Yehuda is saying. What purpose is going to be served if we end up killing our brother and we find ourselves in a position where we're forced to cover up his blood because, you know, we're too embarrassed and too ashamed to say that we ended up killing him inadvertently because, you know, we played this trick, we played this prank, you know, to try to show him who's boss. I think you can say that and maintain the basic thrust of the interpretation of the Ksav HaKabbalah, even though Ksav HaKabbalah himself interprets it a little bit differently. So what's the idea? What should we do instead, says Yehuda? L'chuvenim kareru la'yishma'elim. Let's go and sell him to the Yishma'elim. Now again, if the whole discussion in this whole chapter is, let's just do make-believe so that, you know, Yosef learns his lesson, it's hard to imagine how, you know, let's sell him to the Yishma'elim who are on their way to Mitzrayim. You know, let's sell him down to Egypt and he'll get his just desserts. You know, he'll be scared and then we'll bring him back home for dinner. It's hard to imagine how that's going to work exactly, right? So again, Ksav HaKabbalah works with the language, and he says the first thing we have to understand over here is that Nimkerenu need not be translated as let us sell him, right? Even though that's the simple interpretation. Rather, Nimkerenu can be understood as let us turn him over to. Let us turn him over to the Yishma'elim. Where do we see that? So Lamashal in Sefer Shoftim, in Perek Dalet, Vayimkor Hashem es Yisrael biyad Yavin. God, quote-unquote, sold the Jewish people into the hands of Yavin, who was the Canaanite king at that time, you know, the master of Sisera, who fought against the Jewish people. Clearly, you know, Hashem didn't sell the Jewish people anywhere. It means he delivered them into the hands of Yavin. So, l'chuvenim karenu le'yishma'elim means, let's deliver him into the hands of the Yishma'elim. Once you translate the term that way, so then one can reasonably explain Yehuda's plan as follows. Let's go down to the, let's pull him out of the pit, right? Because he'll get hurt in the pit. Let's bring him down to this caravan of Yishma'elim who are passing by, and let's go through the motions as if we're going to sell him. L'chuvenim karenu la'yishma'elim. Not let's sell him to the Yishma'elim. Let's hand him over to the Yishma'elim. Let's put him into the control of the Yishma'elim. And again, we can go through the negotiations and he'll get very scared and very nervous. What are you doing? What? And then at the end of the day, we're not going to go through with it. You know, we'll go through the motions of a sale. He'll understand for a brief period of time that we'd be ready to treat him as a slave. He'll have the fear of God put into him. And then we can call it quits and take him home for dinner and say to him, Yosef, you know, you better not try any of this stuff ever again. Or, you know, next time we're really going to sell you. Right? That's Yehuda's plan. Okay, so how do we get from that plan to Yosef ending up in Mitzrayim? So here the Ksav HaKabbalah is the final piece in his explanation gives, you know, relies on an interpretation which is given by some of the Rishonim as follows. Who actually pulled Yosef out of the pit and sold him to the Yishma'elim? So, if you read Pasuk Chav Ches, it says, "Vayavru anoshim midyanim socharim." A group of midyanim merchants passed by. Vayimshechu vayalu es Yosef min abor. They pulled Yosef out of the pit. Vayimkru es Yosef la Yishma'elim be'esrim kosef. And then they sold Yosef to the Yishma'elim for 20 pieces of silver. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that the people who did all of that were the Midyanim Socharim, were the Midianite merchants. And this interpretation, which is advanced by the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Bechaya and others, basically says the brothers never sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. They were, Yehuda was debating Yehuda was contemplating doing something. While he was contemplating, this third group of Midianim passed by, pulled Yosef out of the pit. They said, oh, a guy in a pit, great, let's sell him as a slave. And they weren't kidding. Yosef's brothers might have been kidding, but the Midianim were not kidding. They were totally serious.
They said that they sold him.
Right, so the Rashbam answers that. He says, look, you may not have sold me directly, but you caused my being sold. And the Rashbam says it's mashma the pasuk like that. Asher mechartem osi mitzrayma. You sold me towards Mitzrayim. In other words, the truth is, according to the Uksada Kabbalah, that mechira can also mean you delivered me into the hands of the Egyptians. You know, it reads even nicer, because, in other words, you were the cause. Had you not thrown me into the pit, so I wouldn't have ended up here. You know, so you may not have sold me directly to Mitzrayim, but you certainly, you know, played a major role in getting me down here. So again, let's go back to the Rashbam for a moment. Says the Rashbam, so the Midianim come by, they pull Yosef out of the pit, they sell Yosef to the Yishma'elim. The Yishma'elim, you know, when the Midianim sell him to the Yishma'elim, they're not kidding, they actually sell him to the Yishma'elim. The Yishma'elim say, thank you very much. They take Yosef off to Mitzrayim. The brothers go to the pit. They say, okay, let's take Yosef out and let's pretend to sell him to the Yishma'elim. And lo and behold, there's no Yosef. He's gone. So that's the way the Aksava Kabbalah explains the whole episode. It's a fascinating read. I mean, it's definitely one that one, you know, you could definitely take issue with it. You could definitely see it in other ways. But basically, the Aksava Kabbalah is saying from beginning to end, the whole thing that the brothers were doing was all make-believe. And it's just, you know, it's kind of mashalamad davidoma, not exactly the same thing, but it's kind of like the shailas which, you know, were discussed. Maisha has a tshuva, others have tshuvas. The teenage boy and girl who were playing around, you know, having a chasana together, and then all of a sudden discovered that, you know, he may have to give her a get. You know, you start off doing something as make believe. It's just an act. You know, we're gonna pretend that we're gonna kill him. We're gonna pretend that we're going to sell him, and all of a sudden circumstances get beyond the control of the brothers, and Yosef is in a caravan of camels, you know, on his way down to Mitzrayim. Again, a fascinating, fascinating way of reading the Psukim in a very, very unconventional fashion.
The significance is the fact that all the players here, like Ishmael and John, all family mm-hmm. Somehow.
Uh-huh.
You know, is there any significance to that?
Maybe, I don't know. It's an interesting thought that the Yishmaelim and the Yodim are actually all related to Yaakov Avinu in some way. Maybe, I don't know. It's an interesting idea. But Bekitzer, according to the Aksava Kabbalah, so whatever criticism one might have of the brothers is muted considerably. You know, they're not wicked, evil people looking to kill a brother, looking to sell a brother, all these kind of things which paint them in a very, very difficult light. No, you know, they want to teach him a lesson, and sometimes we see when you try to teach somebody a lesson, you know, which you think is a little lesson, things blow out of proportion and things end up spiraling in a way which the brothers never could have possibly imagined that things worked out, you know, the way that they were going to work out.
So when did they go, I don't see the sequence.
Yeah.
According to Sakhabal, what's the sequence?
Let's pretend to sell him. While they're having that discussion, the pit is, you know, not right there. The pit is some distance away. While they're having that discussion, the Midianim come by, yank him out of the pit, sell him in actuality to the Yishmael.
They don't see it.
Right? They're apparently not that close to the pit. Right? That part that is the Midianim who peel him out of the pit is the Rashbam. That's not the Aksava Kabbalah. The Aksava Kabbalah says, you know, he thinks that Rashbam is correct, but that's a pshat that you find in the Rishonim, that it was the Midianim who pulled him out of the pit.
So according to that, how come later on they were saying, we heard our brothers screaming and we ignored him, so and obviously they weren't close by. According to the discussion that they have among themselves, the Pashas Mikates, it sounds like they're right next to them.
Well, no, they heard his cries, but they didn't necessarily see what was going on. In other words,
when they first dropped him in, he was crying.
Yeah, right. It could be when they first dropped him in, he was crying. It could be that, you know, they were close enough to hear, but not close enough to see. I mean, you don't know what was you know, the pit was on the other side of a boulder, maybe. I don't know. You know, it could...
he was in, and then the Midyanim took him out.
And the Midyanim took him out, you know, unbeknownst to the brothers. And, you know, the brothers who were just looking to have, 20 minutes of fun, so to speak, end up, you know, losing Yosef all the way down to Mitzrayim. Okay, Bezus Hashem, we will pick up next week Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, we will only have the shiur between Mincha and Ma'ariv. We're not going to do the post-Ma'ariv part of the shiur, so and to enable people to be Madlik Neiros, so I'll just have to talk a little bit faster, you know, to try to fit everything in, just between Mincha and Ma'ariv.